You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
The expected other shoes have yet to drop in the Panama Papers case, but investigations widen. The means by which Mossack Fonseca was hacked remain unknown, but there's some informed speculation out there. BAE warns of polymorphic Qbot malware, and Cisco's Talos researchers grimly predict the rise of crypto worms. We hear about the risks of physical loss, inattentive offboarding, and legacy systems. And finally, remember Clippy? It looks like you're listening to a podcast. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, April 12, 2016. No major new developments in the Mossack Fonseca Panama Papers journalistic investigation, but reporters continue to hope for more names named and more information about how the leak was accomplished. British Prime Minister David Cameron strikes back in Parliament at what he characterized as the deeply hurtful inferences Fleet Street and Her Majesty's loyal opposition are drawing from the leaks. And Peru has joined El Salvador by raiding local Mossack Fonseca offices. And Russia Today teases with quotations from Süddeutsche Zeitung's discussion of the possibility that secret agents from the CIA and elsewhere used Mossack Fonseca's services to conceal their activity. Guy Guzner is from Fireglass, and he helps us organize some of the speculation surrounding the Panama Papers hack.
People started to look at what would be the possible attack vectors here and started to look at the public-facing sites of the company and some of their interfaces and found some interesting things that may be related or not related to the breach itself, but may tell something about their stance on cybersecurity. And for example, it was found that their public-facing website was using outdated versions of both WordPress and Drupal content management systems. In fact, their Drupal system wasn't updated for 3 years, and we know that there has been a number of different vulnerabilities that has been then patched in that system. So obviously they don't keep their system very much updated and secure. And then it may apply to other places in their organization as well.
That's Guy Guzner from Fireglass. Their website is fire.glass. BAE warns that a new polymorphic version of Qbot malware is circulating in the wild. Qbot shows an awareness of its surroundings that's enabling it to be unusually evasive and difficult to interdict, as polymorphic malware tends to be. Heimdall reports that Atmos, an evolution of the venerable Zeus malware, by way of Citadel, is actively targeting banks in France. Atmos is also being delivered in conjunction with TeslaCrypt, which suggests that criminals are, as expected, combining attacks for the mutual misdirection. Ransomware itself continues to evolve in disturbing directions. Cisco's Talos Labs warns that crypto worms appear to represent this class of malware's future. As the name suggests, crypto worms are self-spreading and require little or no user interaction to infect systems. In industry news, the first cyber IPO, indeed the first major tech IPO of the year, that of Dell SecureWorks, has received its initial valuation. It appears likely to be $1.42 billion. Inadvertence and physical transfer continue to threaten data security. The U.S. Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, sustained an inadvertent breach in February that affected the records of some 44,000 customers. In this case, it wasn't hacking, but rather unfortunate offboarding. A departing employee had inadvertently downloaded files into a personal storage device, then left with both device and data. Both were returned without evident theft or compromise. But there's a clear lesson. Pay attention to your offboarding procedures. Another lesson is to limit the use of portable storage devices, a step the FDIC says is in its plans. Such plans would figure into the general IT modernization initiatives the U.S. administration proposed in its Cybersecurity National Action Plan. U.S. CIO Tony Snow sees such modernization as important to security. Quote, "A typical CIO in a typical agency spends a high percentage of his budget just keeping his systems running," Snow said at a Passcode event in Baltimore this morning. "Trying to keep legacy systems running involves a struggle against diminishing skill sets, the difficulty of getting parts, and so on. But agencies have a hard time replacing systems. As new requirements emerge and laws are passed, quote, we wind up piling more dirt on top of old immovable objects," as Snow put it. Finally, while we're thinking about legacy code, and as we've been watching the recent travails of artificial intelligence, security travails, workplace travails, chatbot travails, Duo Security urges us to remember Clippy. Clippy was that small, bug-eyed paperclip Microsoft used to use as an intelligent user interface to offer you help as you did things in Office. "Looks like you're writing a letter," Clippy would observe from the corner of your screen, full of hope that you'd ask for its anthropomorphic help. Alas, few did ask, in part because too many people felt that Clippy was leering at them in an unwelcome, male-gazy kind of way, and also because he got to be kind of a pest, leering or not. Well, Duo says it turns out Clippy was legacy code that also amounted to one big built-in backdoor. How big? Big enough to drive a truck full of malicious macros right into the old Vista operating system, the OS between Windows XP and Windows 7. That's how big. So those AIs, they come from good families, but sometimes they develop ways about them that just aren't right. Are we right, Tay? Looks like you're using legacy code. No. You don't need Clippy's help.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me is Marcus Roschecker. He's the Cybersecurity Program Manager at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security, one of our academic and research partners. Marcus, saw a story recently that once again, the Justice Department wants Apple to help unlock an iPhone. This is not the iPhone in the San Bernardino jihadist case. This is one in New York.
Yes, so this issue between law enforcement and Apple continues. As you may recall, the iPhone in the San Bernardino case was apparently cracked by the FBI through the help of a third party. A third party was able to offer a solution that helped the FBI gain access to that encrypted phone. But it looks like that solution is only applicable to the iPhone 5C model, which was the model in the San Bernardino case, which means that for other cases that involve different models of iPhones, the FBI will again need Apple's technical assistance to try to gain access to encrypted information on those phones.
So this is a case in New York, and this is a case that's on appeal, is that correct?
Yes, so this was also a pretty high-profile case. It involved a drug dealer who was using an iPhone. This drug dealer has actually pled guilty, but the FBI would still like to gain access to this person's phone, which is encrypted. The phone does run an older version of the operating system, so the assistance that Apple would have to provide wouldn't be as extensive as it would have had to provide in the San Bernardino case. Apple would not have to build any new software. It would have a much easier time to help the FBI gain access to the phone. This case in New York also revolves around this legal issue of the All Writs Act. Again, the FBI is relying on the All Writs Act to try to compel Apple to help them access the phone. In the initial decision by the judge in this in New York case, the judge actually ruled in favor of Apple and said that the FBI could not rely on the All Writs Act to compel Apple to break into the phone. Now, the Department of Justice has appealed this case, and then Apple will file papers in opposition to the Department of Justice by April 15th, so in a couple of days. We'll have to see how this progresses, but certainly this issue of law enforcement trying to compel a person or a private entity to assist it pursuant to a court order, that issue is still open, and we still need to get a final decision on that.
All right, Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.